Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting. Well, let's just go ahead and...
We've got film. And we've got psychology. When we put the two together, we've got filmcology. Each week, we will look at the psychology of the characters in film, and it gives us something lovely to think about. So, let's get started. Filmcology is now. We've got film.
Sorry, folks. That's what you call technical genius.
That is good. I like that. Shoot. Let's sign up me and Lydia for one. Shoot. That's good. Okay.
Excuse me?
No, I'm talking about your entry. I like that.
Well, I'm still working on it. That's why I'm calling it technical genius, because then I will grow into that moniker.
Okay.
Hello,
good.
Everybody. Welcome to filmology. This is a term that I developed. It's filmology, P-H-I-L-M-C-H-O-L-O-Y, because we have psychology plus film. And we, as I said, we're looking at the characters and the different things that took place in the film. The film today that we are reviewing is called, is called Wish You Were Here. And it seems like it's a bit of a sleeper, although it won a few awards. And it's a drama. It involves a couple of sisters. One is a few years older than the other. The other one's sort of a young adult, cute, sprite little thing. And her sister is beautiful, but just a few years older, with her own family. And she had convinced her sister and brother-in-law to go to a foreign country with her and her new boyfriend. And in the film, you see, as everything's opens up, that they're in fresh markets that you see in a lot of countries, different than America, and how they're enjoying that time together, the different sort of weird tastes like scorpion and bugs. So it seems like everything is going really well. It looks like the typical American tourist, especially the younger set, that just, they have their hemp bracelets and everything, and they seem to walk around in other countries as if, you know, everything is going to go fine for them. But unfortunately, sometimes people who travel around in other countries forget that they are actually the foreigner. They're not. What I was told when I started studying languages many years ago is that Americans tend to see people from other countries. Now, this may have changed somewhat now because I'm quite a bit older, but it used to be Americans would see people from other countries as foreigners in our country. And then when they would go to foreign countries, instead of considering themselves as foreigners, they always, you know, thought in terms of, I'm in a foreign country. So Americans tend to not ever see themselves as foreign, even if they are the foreign object. And so in this film, at one point, they're partying at night on the beach with a bunch of locals. And the wife of the younger sister decides to go back to the hotel. She's sort of tired. And now, mind you, this husband and wife, they have two small children. They're around 5 and 3 back home. And so she still has, in her mindset, she's still sort of a bit of a mom. I mean, she's enjoying herself with her little sister, but she's still, I think, like a lot of moms, you know, they know when they've had enough. And the brother-in-law stays on the beach partying with the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and I don't know where the boyfriend was. He might have, he actually did business with this country, and nobody really knew quite what his business was. They sort of skirted it, and he stated that he did exporting little trinket things, and the other people in the party weren't really sure they believed him, but they just let it go off. So he was gone, so the brother-in-law was left with the little sister who had been eyeing him, you could see, systematically in their time. And then she basically instigates the sleeping together. And he
the
wakes up
and... The little sister and the... Oh, God, okay,
and
go
the
ahead.
Brother-in-law. I mean, the older sister is... they're not a whole lot older. Maybe they're 5 or 6 years older. So it's not like... you know, a 10 year older sister kind of thing. So they're sort of within range. And then he realizes just how messed up that is as he's waking up. And she sort of taunts him for, you know, wanting to, you know, being upset and just wanting to, like, you know, this can't ever happen again. And she sort of belittles the whole thing. And he worries about how her boyfriend's going to take it as well. And she thinks the boyfriend has... She doesn't know the boyfriend as much. It's not like she's known him for 5 years. She may have been with him for a year or less. So this guy who has this weight on him, worried about how it could affect his family, he could lose his family, he loves his wife, he really loves his children, and he goes off on his own at night in this foreign country, quote unquote, and some local, he says, "Yeah, I got what you want. I know what you want." And he takes him to a bar, and he's sort of drinking, and he keeps trying to talk to this American because he wants to separate him from his wallet and his money. And The American's like, "No, I just want to drink." He just wants to drink, and then they bring out either I have to admit, I can't remember if it was a little boy, but it was like little, like 7 or 8 year old little boy or little girl. It was creepy. And they're trying to sell him this kid for a night of whatever. And he, being the father he is, he's totally disgusted. And he starts yelling at them. He's drunk. And he starts telling them how disgusting they are. And then the other locals in the bar stand up and they're getting upset. And then the boyfriend shows up from somewhere. Either he walked into the bar or he was doing business around the corner. And he saw him getting riled up and he tried to stop it. And they knew him from doing some kind of business. And they just like, "You better get him out of here," because the brother-in-law doesn't speak the language. The boyfriend does. He's trying to get the boyfriend out. The boyfriend, once they get outside, he's still yelling. He goes, "No, I don't care." He's doing that whole, just, you know, you're reactive, you're drunk. And they got really upset even further. And then the guy that tried to sell him the kid came over because he was insulted, and he pulled out a knife, and he went to stab the drunk guy, and the boyfriend tried to get in the way to just intervene, and he stabbed him several times. I mean, there's just no way of living through that, and he slumps down. And that's when the drunk brother-in-law sort of wakes up or sobers up. So we don't really know that in the beginning of the film. We just know that this guy is missing. We had no idea where he was. The locals took the body, and they took his wallet, the drunk man's wallet, and his driver's license. And they basically told him, "We know who you are, and we know where you are." So he was not to say anything. And everyone's looking for this missing boyfriend. The young sister-in-law is upset, and she stays in the country longer, even though the older couple have to go home because of their children. And so this whole agonizing thing plays out where the brother-in-law, the husband, he sees people around the city that are watching him, and he is terrified it's these people. And he was telling his wife and his sister-in-law that this guy must have been involved with drugs. But unbeknownst to him, the State Department, when they got involved, it had to do with what they knew of that area and what was going on. And apparently they found his body.
Oh, they did?
Apparently found his body, and they didn't know what happened. But they knew that he was traveling around with the sister-in-law and the girlfriend. So finally, his wife is getting ready to leave him because he's overreactive. See, when you have something in your life that you won't come clean about or you don't deal with, it can be almost worse than prison. It's like having acid in your soul, and the way it's eating away at you is horrendous. And so the wife was getting ready to leave, blah, 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 and the sister... in-law, the younger sister-in-law, because she's so distraught and upset and she wants somebody to comfort her, she apologizes about that night in front of the sister-in-law, and then the sister finally figures out what's going on. And she thinks that he's upset because of what she now... other co-host, Pepper. Now she thinks that there's actually some kind of affair going on between her sister and this husband. So it's real convoluted drama of all these characters, and it all comes down to somebody who makes a misstep, and then it starts snowballing like dominoes in his life, affecting the other people's lives. Somebody's dead. And you could go all the way back and you could think, well, if that sister-in-law didn't have sights on her brother-in-law, none of this would have happened. But there's no way of telling. Life is one of those things that where...
Let me ask you something. So the brother-in-law, he's the one that had sex with his wife's sister? And he's
right.
The one that ended up dead?
No, it was the boyfriend who tried to protect him because he does business with this country. And a business that nobody really knew what he was doing, and so they assumed it was nefarious. But actually, go ahead.
No, I was just trying to understand. Go ahead, because you were explaining it. I didn't understand died. Okay.
The boyfriend actually did do business in this country, but as it turns out, he actually did do business with little trinkets that people buy, that like souvenirs in this country, but they know it's an authentic trinket from this country, which was, it was like a third world country like Vietnam or Thailand. So it was, so the whole thing, finally, he's going to lose absolutely everything, his wife and his children. He can't take the nightmares either. He finally breaks down and he tells his wife, who thinks this is all about an affair, exactly what happened. Happened one time, because the little sister, her big sister found out there was an affair. She didn't really want anything to do with her sister. And her sister is so upset about her missing boyfriend who doesn't know what happened to him. And she just wants to know, is he dead? Is he alive? What happened? Those kind of missing things are really disturbing for families. It's like families of the Green River Killer, and they didn't know what happened to their sisters or their daughters. It's just, it's almost cruel on cruel. It's bad enough
it
that
is.
You know this.
No, go ahead. It is. I was just thinking not only the Green River murder, but think about our most recent and most controversy was the girl in Aruba that came up missing. They never found her.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They never found her, and that guy knew he had killed her, or at least somebody knew where possibility her body would have been. But, yeah, they just kept quiet. That wasn't fair to the parents, just like the people at the Green River Killer. So you're right. Is it right to keep your mouth closed? For what reason? What purpose does it serve when it's going to tear at your subconscious? Did you know that was wrong and you should have told somebody?
Oh, and it just... And what it did for even Aruba, really, you know, negative. It really hurt their tourist trade.
Business,
so essentially,
yeah,
it hurt a whole country. You killed a woman, you hurt a whole country, and you were, you know, able to get away with it for so long. You know,
mm-hmm.
his family had money, and he was able to travel and go wherever.
Yep.
Horrible. But one of the things, so the main things that this movie, and when I saw it, I just thought, oh, my gosh, there's just so much pain and disaster in the inner workings between these people that when you first see them, you see these two sisters. At first, you don't know they're sisters. You just think they're close friends because the older sister looks so much younger, and you think, here's four people who really like each other and they're enjoying each other in another country. All the things in your mind is what could, you know, sounds like everything's okay. What could go wrong? But when you're in another country, not necessarily foreign, when you're in another country, when you're a foreigner in another country, you don't know what could happen. You have no idea.
Well, Brennan, just tell you something's going on. The young lady here in Washington State that is waiting for the results today from Italy about her trial. I cannot think of the young lady's name because Amanda Knox. There you go. Okay, because if they find her guilty, she needs to go back to Italy and serve time. Instead, she said no. She's fleeing the United States, probably going to Canada, but she said she is not going back to Italy.
She actually said
but
that.
But then the thing still bothers me, just like Wish You Were Here. They knew what happened to that girl, and they lied. They knew what happened to her and who raped her and killed her, but they all three of them lied, and that's why I think that the Italian government was holding them for so long and making – they got the person that killed the girl, the black guy, but they were also involved because it was some kind of crazy sexual tryst. But nobody wanted to tell the truth. Well, here's these other, but what about the victim? This woman's here. She was from England. She wasn't even from Italy. They were all roommates there, I guess going to school or something.
Yeah.
But being quiet.
So I didn't really follow that trial or anything because those sensational trials are disturbing to me. But just a quick question. So Amanda Knox and her boyfriend, they knew who the killer was, and what was the reason that they didn't tell?
They kept saying that they didn't do it. Okay, but you didn't do it, but who did?
So that
you know,
other guy was
they
definitely
the
in
other
the room
guy actually killed the girl, but they were all part of that, whatever it was. I think they were doing drugs, Brenda, and they got into some little sexual thing, and I guess it went crazy. It turned wrong. So whatever happened, maybe the girl that died, she didn't want to partake in it. I don't know. We still don't know because all Amanda Knox and her boyfriend kept saying, we didn't do it, we didn't do it. Yeah, but you know what happened. You were there. You were a part of it.
Yeah, you're pretty much talking about how, yeah, so basically.
Like, we're there with the guy.
You're ashamed about your involvement. Then you're going to allow a greater harm to perpetrate the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Wish You Were There, he didn't tell about the people. The townspeople wanted to remain quiet.
Yeah. Well, I think it was beyond his comprehension that somebody would just kill a man like that, which I believe is faulty thinking. When you go to another country and somebody who speaks a language you don't understand is trying to get you to go have sex with a little six or seven-year-old kid, which is beyond your comprehension, good logic would tell you that there's probably a whole lot more that they're capable of that's beyond your comprehension. So what you probably need to comprehend is that you are not in Kansas anymore and you need to back on out of there. If there's anything you need to understand is that you are not home.
And no, and you're governed by different laws and circumstances in foreign countries. And they're a little bit more stricter about some things than we are. One thing, in a foreign country, they don't play with drugs like we do here in the United States. You get caught with drugs over there, you can kiss your butt goodbye. You know,
well,
and some of the things that you do. Go ahead.
There's a few things going on in the film. Because the boyfriend never really talked about his business, I think that one of the reasons he didn't talk about it is because it was sort of a little... It was just sort of a weird mamby-pamby little export business is the way he thought of it. And he didn't think it was any big deal. But they just didn't believe it. Like, who would live in this country or travel to this country over and over just to pick up trinkets? But what they didn't understand is he was just this real adventurous kind of guy who liked to travel, liked to meet people in other countries. And so for him, it was perfect for his lifestyle. And that came out later in the film, that it wasn't drugs. And so the brother-in-law actually had a strong fear that these people who killed him could actually reach out to him. He had no idea if they were in some kind of business that was drug related, because he's just like an architect back home. He's just an average dad, you know, who just has no concept of the drug trade. And he has obviously no he has no understanding of the import-export business, but a lot of us believe that people who deal with import-exports might very easily be associated with drug trade because they have used that as a trafficking source. So there's all this misunderstanding going on. And it's further perpetuated. It was almost like the brother-in-law was just going crazy when he got back home. He would be upset if his wife was talking to anybody in a car somewhere that he didn't understand. He didn't know who they were, and she's just like, "Oh, some guy asked for directions," and then he'd see the same car not too far away. And then when he would get out to acknowledge the car, then they'd drive off. Well, it was the State Department trying to observe what was actually going on with this guy because they're trying to figure out why this man was murdered.
But they never found the body, though, right?
Yeah, I believe they found the body.
I mean,
and that's one of the,
yes, right, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's when they finally, you know, He actually was just ready to do battle. He didn't know if they were coming after his family or what, but see, he was drunk when it happened. He's got this overriding guilt of the fact that he caused a man's death. Indirectly, he did cause his death and had to live with that guilt. And this guy, to tell you how much pressure he was under, when they came home And when the little sister finally came back from the country after she couldn't stay any longer, trying to find out what happened to him, then there was his parents. And they all visited his parents. And Pepper?
Thank you, Pepper, for your input. Yeah.
Okay, so they went to visit his parents, and they were so forlorn and just so much in sorrow. And he has to watch that with what he does know. And it was horrific. And the way they were just, he always wanted to do all the things they talked about, all his future plans, the things he wanted to do. And then they even showed the little trinkets. He was always sending us these little trinkets. And it was just pitiful. So one of the things that I did want to kind of state to people, if anybody was listening, you know, to me instead of Pepper, that one of the things that people need to really look at is the causations that can occur based on our behaviors. It's one of those things where I like to say from my psychological approach, what I'd like to contribute to society is the Take 5 approach. It take 5 minutes, take 5 steps, count to 5 before you allow yourself to react to something that makes you overly emotional. Because then when people react without thinking, very often people die or things get set into motion that are so horrific, there's no coming back from it. So if this drunk husband had just, if he had just went with him, well, you could tell the fear on the boyfriend's face that, you know, these are not the people to mess with, don't talk to, just, he's trying to get him to just even shut up. And when you have a bar, if you're in a local bar in another country and you're the foreigner and you say something about the way somebody is approaching you and all the people in the bar stand up and they're like looking at you like I'm about ready to take you on too, you're in danger.
Yep.
And alcohol, you know, quite honestly, in my opinion, alcohol just doesn't mix with any situation where you're not safely in your home. It's not even good sometimes when you're in a home. Was it William Shatner's wife who died? She was drunk. She was an alcoholic, and I think she's the one who she drowned in the hot tub.
Yeah,
I think she
came
home.
Yeah, a lot of liquor in her, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
no,
so...
No, go ahead.
Here's this. I think if I remember correctly, that Leonard Nimoy talked to William about, I think before they even got married, that he recognized that she was an alcoholic, based on Leonard Nimoy's experiences, which I don't know if he was an alcoholic or if his previous wife was alcoholic or what, but he had some experience, and he recognized it real easily. But William Shatner I think he's one of those people like, well, this is where my heart lies, and that's it.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of folly in his life because of her alcoholism. So, yeah. Drinking just doesn't mix with everything. We all, I love my bourbon. I'm a bourbon gal. I come from a Southern family. And I don't care what anybody else says. I love the taste of bourbon. I think it was the first alcohol I've ever tasted. It's always in the house. It is not something that I drink. If I occasionally, when I'm writing, I'm a writer, when I'm writing, I'll pour a little glass, a little rock glass or something with some bourbon in. It'll sit there, maybe it's a month. It'll sit there. Sometimes it just you know, catches lint and everything and just gets thrown out the next day. But I even love the smell of bourbon. So it's not even, it's not always about the drinking of it. But you can enjoy alcohol, but it's not just drink, it's not just driving responsibly. It's your, it's any situation where you can be compromised. Yeah. Adding alcohol is a bad idea. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I definitely don't buy the excuse, oh, I couldn't help it because I was drunk, or excuses, folks, are just excuses. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I want to give you one. I want to give you an excuse because I look at things in a big picture. I've been that way most of my life. What's the big picture here? And so I'm tracing things from the impetus, from the very start of how things are progressing, all the way to where I extrapolate what could then happen and all the different veins of it. But so even still, if I'm late for an appointment with you, I want to explain why I was late. It's still an excuse. You're either on time or you're not, right?
Yeah.
Some of us rely on excuses a little too much, and when we're real cowardly, then we rely on some kind of substance as an excuse. Because, you know, they may actually not want to meet that person. That's how come they're late.
Well.
Yeah, Tony Robbins. He, in his series, he talks about how we actually, our destination is off. He said there are times when we're with people that we really don't want to be around, but yet we politely smile and sort of, you know, try to pay attention to them. And he said that's giving an unclear signal, and that makes that other person think, oh, yeah, they really like being here with me. if you don't passionately want to be in the presence or go visit or be with somebody, then why are you doing it? Because you're not giving them the best of you. You know, you're dishonoring both of you, really. I mean, he didn't say dishonoring, but in my mind it is. It made me rethink a lot of my friendships that I felt obligated to. I actually wrote a post on my website about obligated because I was a little frustrated with, you know, people that constantly have a problem but they don't do things to change it.
Yeah.
I'm not the kind of therapist, I will never be the kind of therapist who will just sit in a room and you can just pay me to tell me a bunch of crap. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do movement. You're going to have to progress because my time is worth more than money. And my thinking, my brain is worth even more than that. So even though I am studying the profession of psychologist, it doesn't mean that I'm a big trash can, that someone could come into my office and dump on me. Yeah. So anyway, that all aside, that, you know, that's basically the characters of the movie. Some of the things that I wanted to talk about with people is how would you take it if it was one of your closest friends or your sibling that slept with your husband or wife or your lover? How would you react to that? Is that something that you would be able to come back from? Would you be able to actually continue in that relationship? Or would that relationship be just instantaneously over? And then if these are all questions I'm putting out there, and if you do decide to walk away, or if you decide to stay, how does the love manifest in that relationship? Any ideas there, Lennon?
No.
I'll put you on the spot because you foolishly called in. I could be answering this myself. I'll go ahead and start with myself. Personally,
okay.
And this isn't my personal beliefs or feelings have nothing to do with if I have a client, because when a client is going to come to see me, it's not about me. And when I work crisis clinic, I used to work crisis clinic on the phones. When a caller called in and they had a problem or a crisis, it was their crisis. It was their problem. And so I'm just saying this. This is my sort of waiver so that people understand. It doesn't matter how I see things for my life. What matters is how you see things for your life and how that how you can negotiate that in your life in a way that keeps you empowered and not subjugated or oppressed or repressed. In my opinion, life is all about empowerment and living a quality life. So I don't know how I would feel about a lover sleeping with somebody else, mostly because I realize that people do have all these different connections that exist in and out of marriage, and there's a lot of things that go on, and I'm not condoning or uncondoning anything. I just realize that things happen, but I'm real upfront and honest about things to people that come into my realm relationship-wise, and I always state right away that if you want to be with someone else or you find that you're drawn to someone else, just be man enough to tell me, and you be man enough to risk possibly losing me, because I have a right to know before you either bring someone into the relationship that they may have something physically that could harm me, venereal disease. They could have a mental issue, as in a disorder that makes them extremely jealous and violent, and that would be bringing more harm into my house that I wouldn't appreciate. So to me, I've always said you just need to let me know, and then I'll make the determination if this is something that we can weather or not, or I'm willing to take. But if somebody just has an affair, doesn't say anything, and thinks they're going to get away with it, I would not stay. I wouldn't. I don't care how much I love them. I just feel that I'd never know with that kind of disregard for my or honoring of my feelings or my health, no consideration for me. I have no idea once I say, okay, let's just forget it, that they're not going to think the next time, well, she forgave me the first time. She might or might not forgive me this next time. And then things move to the next step. If I forgive them for the second time, by the third time, it's like, well, why aren't you forgiving me now? You forgave me the first two times. It's a real strange dynamic. Sex is sex. And I think that, yes, making love and all that. But it's when somebody takes their love and affection from you. I think that that's the most tragic.
As having an affair or?
Well, yeah, just having a sexual affair. I think it's tragic. And when people say, oh, she didn't mean anything or he didn't mean anything, that sounds like a character flaw that I wouldn't really want to deal with. If you don't think it matters how that other person feels and you just sort of use them, that's disturbing to me too.
Yeah.
So it's a real fine line. Would be really tight circumstances that I would accept it. It's a possibility, but...
Now, with that, Brenda, with the two sisters, after she confessed to her sister that she had sex with her boyfriend, or was it with her boyfriend or with her husband?
The little sister, the little sister had an affair with the older sister's husband.
Husband.
So the married couple is the older couple. They're about six. They're about 5-6 years older.
And the one who got killed is who? The one that ended up.
He's the boyfriend of the little sister.
Okay.
The one who did the export business. Yeah.
Okay. And the husband, what happened to him?
Huh?
Well, I was just curious about how those two sisters, would they ever reconcile that they would get back together with understanding? You know, would she ever forgive her sister and you know, hopefully it never happens again?
There was a scene in there where the little sister was trying to express that she really needed somebody, and the older sister said, "I just can't be around you right now." I mean, they obviously they're family. Their mom, you know, they have their mom. They share their mother, and there's the older sister's children that I'm sure but you don't really see the younger sister interact with the children much, because there's all this, everything's so messed up by then when they come back. Just go on this little innocent vacation that changed all their lives forever. Because they didn't think it was going to be any big deal. We're just going to go to a foreign country and play around for a couple weeks, you know, or a week. I think they're only supposed to be gone about a week. But, yeah. In the end, after the husband finally confessed to the sister, the wife, his wife, about everything that happened and why he was so terrified that men were coming to kill them or the family, and she just looked at him and he was totally bawling because he didn't know any more how to protect his family. He was losing everything and he couldn't take the guilt. His wife, she just looked at him and she said, "You have to make it right." And so the only way to make it right was to come clean with everybody. And at one point... Yeah.
No, go ahead, honey. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
At one point, you even see that they go to the man who died's parents' house. And she made him make it right in all cases, including with the State Department, and that's where the State Department came clean about why they were watching him. They didn't know what was going to happen, because they actually found his driver's license that the men in the other country took after they killed the man.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Most things are going to come to the light, I think. That's why I always find it really hilarious. Well, it's not really hilarious. It's either tragically hilarious when people do things and they think no one's ever going to find out. I think.
Or will the truth ever be told? That's the other thing, Brenda.
It's the same good do. So I like to say when people have done good things and, well, nobody really knows it, it's like the cream's going to float to the top of the milk. It always does. And in anything that's done in any kind of dark or bad manner, that's going to come to the light too. It just, everything reveals itself at some point. I mean, look at all the mysteries in history that we've experienced and wondered about, and they keep coming to light. The Titanic, there was all these mysteries for over 100 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Amelia Earhart. no one knew where she was, and then they find wreckage and information, shoot, things that, okay, this was definitely Amelia Earhart. And so it may not be definitive, but the answers keep rising. So, and that's one another reason to take five, folks, because if there's a way that you could safely retreat, even though you just want to knock someone's block off, then do it. Find somebody else to help you talk it through. That's why I believe in therapy, because it's not worth a life behind bars.
Nope.
I can't think of anything that's worth it. I can't think of anything. Even if somebody has done the most horrific things to you, don't let them take the rest of what they've already taken so much from you. Don't let them have the rest of your life. Just therapeutically, this whole movie really talks about the interactions between people, and I don't know what to think about a man who, yeah, you go to other countries. What is it? Sort of Vegas. The saying is, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." And I'm quite sure there's a lot of people who are buying into that. But no matter where you are, wherever you go, how's that saying go, Linus? There you are.
Yeah.
You cannot get away from yourself.
Nope.
No matter how much, no matter how much you try to drug or alcohol or sex or gamble yourself into separation from self, you can't do it. You can lie to yourself all you want to. You're still there.
Yep. Hello. Amen.
I'm only laughing because I'm reminded of Lydia's Time to Love. She has this thing coming for Valentine's Day about if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, and who are you always with? She says, it's yourself.
Self,
so,
yep.
And, yeah. You know when they say that, well, there are no witness. No witnesses to a crime. I'll be doggone, people always forget that they witness their own crimes.
Yeah.
And that's how detectives get you, because they finally get you to reveal your witness. If you were there, if you're aware of it, someone else is probably going to find out.
Yep.
So, yeah, just my cousin, he's so silly, and he would say to me, he said, I understand that people go to prison, and he said, and then they find God. And he said, I just don't understand why they can't find God before they kill someone and go to prison.
Well.
And I was like,
hello, somebody.
I laugh at him because it is simply true, but he's saying it sort of like a little joke, and he's a nut, but there's a lot of deep truth to that.
Yes, it is.
And I think if you just take five, you'll be able to avoid prison. Somebody's talking about how your girlfriend is a skank. You already know he's an idiot. What does he know about your girlfriend? And, maybe she's a skank. I really don't know. But quite honestly, is that hurting your flesh to the point you got to get out a gun and shoot someone? We all really need to think a little bit better about what's happening in this situation. And if you've been drinking, know this. You're not thinking full force, you're just not. I don't care how much you think you can hold your alcohol, you're not. If we now have marijuana, you're able to use it almost freely in our state, in Colorado, and listen, it's one of those things that can impair your judgment. It may not make you as wigged out as possibly alcohol or some other drug, but your system is in a more relaxed state, which means it doesn't necessarily react, or it doesn't react as fast as you think it might. So there's a lot to that too, and it's not, it doesn't have to be marijuana, weed, however you want to call it. It doesn't have to be alcohol. Like I said, it could be other things where you're trying to separate your mind from yourself so you have a good excuse to do whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Think about it. Anyway, any other thoughts, Linus? I still want to know what.
That's a good show today, because it's true. The stuff that you hide, it's going to come to the light eventually, sooner or later, whether you know about it or not. But being silent, like you said, Brenda, could cause a lot of harm to so many people,
yeah.
Not to just one person. It could be a snowball effect.
Yeah, and guilt. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the guilt. Yeah.
Was making this man darn near insane. Darn near insane. So, he had this good life. He's our architect, made good money. His children were healthy, happy. He and his wife still desired each other. They're both nice looking, and they enjoyed life. They really considered this trip, and they thought, yeah, it would be a good trip for us to take. It's sort of a once in a lifetime trip, and everything went foul. So it might be really tempting, I think, for us to engage in something that seems like it's too good to be true. But see, there's another cliche, right? If it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, and like you said, take time to think and be cautious. And if you are rattled with guilt about something, then tell somebody. Get it off your chest, because all you're doing is bringing toxic stuff to your body.
Yes. And just because you're an extremely voluptuous, gorgeous little sister-in-law or older brother-in-law or younger brother-in-law, whatever, or the best friend of your wife or your husband, just because they say, oh, nobody has to know, everybody's doing it, all these different justifications that person is providing to you so that they can get what they want out of you, make sure you understand that they're not in your shoes.
Yeah.
They can't take ultimately responsibility for the fallout that's going to happen in your life. You know, make sure that magic moment, quote unquote, is worth your life, because things always go further than people think. And
right, and you have choices. Go ahead, Brenda. Yeah.
Yeah, and the girlfriend who said she'll never tell. Oh my gosh, how many times have we seen that in movies where that's the very one? It's like, well, he raped me. They'll come up with anything. They're on the spot. You don't. Already somebody is showing you a flaw in their character. They want you to do something that is against the better good of your entire life. And here's another thought. It's your wife's sister. Why would she do this to somebody who loves her?
Right. Right. And that's what I agree with you. It's like, why would you do that to somebody that loves you and you love them?
So then here's the other ultimate question for this kind of movie. Who caused all the harm?
It started with the little sister. Didn't it start with the little sister having sex with the brother-in-law?
Well, just checking to see what other people would think. She obviously had these sights on him, and out of that was born the one night indiscretion, the loss of her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, look what karma did
loss
to her.
The relationship.
Hello,
with your
karma.
Yeah. Yeah, and she impacted the life. Yeah, she impacted the life even further, almost irrevocably. The brother-in-law could have been killed. So she would have double whammied her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And I know that there's some ethics people out there that would tell me, and I really love ethics. I love to debate it. But I'm sure they would tell me the harm was caused by the guy with the knife. Technically, he caused the immediate death, direct death of the boyfriend. But there's also in law, here we go, in the ethics, there's a causation. And I believe Lennis is, in my opinion, Lennis has it on the nail, the little sister
mm-hmm.
caused it. So,
yep.
Anyways.
Yep. Yeah.
That was the movie Wish You Were Here, and I really appreciate everybody tuning in who got a chance to tune in or listen, and we're starting the love month, the Valentine's Day month, and so that starts on Saturday with Time to Love and Lydia, and we're going to be doing some things at the Essence of Success Radio Network, where we're just a little, you know, in keeping with Heart Month. In Filmcology, I'm going to do some films that are about relationships and sort of romances. And not all of them are just, you know, fun little, I would have loved to include things like Bringing Up Baby, but that'll be for some other months. So we're starting now next week on Filmcology. The film will be When a Man Loves a Woman with Andy Garcia and Meg Ryan.
That was a good movie.
But yeah, movie.
Well, you talk about love. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, talk about love. And lots of things where a lot of the women are like, ooh, wouldn't it be nice? You know, but then there's the other parts of it, and it always gets me emotional because it's a wonderful movie for Heart Month. And the following week we'll be doing the Silver Linings Playbook, which was a suggestion by Lydia actually a month ago, and I think that's a good one because there's some kind of love relationship thing going in there. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll be watching it this week. And
yeah, me either. I'll have to watch that. Okay.
And then the third week of the love month, we'll have Deliver Us from Eva, which is that's a romantic comedy. That's really, it has some hilarious moments in there. And I just, yes, there's a lot in there. It involves a family of four sisters, and they are tight, 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 tight. So it'll be a nice little fun pick-me-up. And then the last movie is a little bit different. It's called A Cooler Climate. It's an older movie. It was shown first on TV. And, folks, if you haven't seen it, you can actually catch it on YouTube. And I have the link on the Filmcology link. When you bring up Filmcology or the Essence of Success, then you'll be able to click on that and see all 10 parts on YouTube. But it's a friendship movie, and it shows where love is developed in ways where you didn't think it could be developed. So that's going to be our Heart Month for that. Now, tomorrow we are going to be with Lennis on Traffic Jam. And that'll be at 3 p.m., is that correct?
Heck yeah, we're going to party too, because it's Seahawk weekend.
Yes. And so then Time to Love with Lydia will be at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and she's talking about, I can't remember, but Time to Love, you need to get with it, you need to get there. Sunday,
yeah.
As Lennis said, Seahawk Sunday.
No show on Sunday.
Well, when Seahawks have to take it, or I'm going to be mad. And, you know, playing the Broncos. And, you know, we all love Peyton Manning. Who doesn't? So and then we'll be starting the next week. So remember Love Month, and there's some special things that we're doing with that. Check it all out.
Man.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week. Remember, watch When a Man Loves a Woman.
Okay, will do. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you,
Minister. Good show.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Thank you.